Another thing you might want to invest in is a couple of good cookbooks.
Okay.
I have found several good cookbooks. They're on the shelf behind me. One of them I'll pull out and show, for instance, that actually got me going this winter, making something special for our family during the holidays. I picked this up at one of the local warehouse clubs. It's also available at stores in town. But this is Williams & Sonoma's Essentials of Baking. I think you can figure out where to buy it since it's a Williams & Sonoma book. But I opened it up one day, and I saw some fantastic pictures of cinnamon rolls, and that immediately set me loose wanting to make these cinnamon rolls. And in fact, they were to be in the finger bread class, but unfortunately we didn't run the finger bread class. But if you look through this book, you'll see that what highlights it is the excellent photography.
Oh, my.
It's really what makes or breaks a cookbook, because they show you how this stuff should look when you're all done. Mm-hmm. And I saw those cinnamon rolls in here, and focaccia. I saw the focaccia in here, and it just looked delicious.
And easy to do,
and I just had to get into...
All right. Well, you're making me hungry. So this is a book you recommend. Okay.
Another book that's available at the West Hartford Library, which kind of changed my life, is No Need to Knead. And there's a copy of it standing on the end of the table here. And this gal, Susan Dunaway, puts out a couple of basic premises in her book that changes the way I've been making bread. Mm-hmm. I always kneaded the bread and let it rose and then punched it down and let it rose again. And she puts forth the premise that there's no need to punch it down. And so since then, I've been allowing my bread to rise. I handle it as little as possible, and then I transfer it gingerly to where it's going to bake and allow it to rise some more. And I've gotten these wonderful, airy Italian breads that way.
Wow, that's good.
And the other thing she puts forth is this premise of breads that are very, very damp, very, very wet doughs. And I've been doing that. It's a whole new way of making bread. You can't really knead it with your hands because it is too wet and damp. Mm-hmm. But you get these wonderful, airy Italian rustic breads like ciabatta and focaccia.
Is that the new trend right now?
Seems to be.
These Italian
breads. You know, in these days of the Atkins diets and people are trying to get away from bread, one of the ways to do that is to, rather than have three or four slices of plain bread, to have one or two slices of excellent bread. So if you're going to consume less, you should make it the best possible bread you can have. And I've been experimenting with these rustic Italian breads, and they're nice because they're crusty, and the crust has an awful lot of flavor in itself. And then you can coat the crust with olive oil and rosemary or garlic and give it some more flavor so that you can enjoy smaller quantities and get the same amount of flavor.
You know what? I was reading an article in a cooking magazine, and they were talking about leftover breads, all the things you can do with leftover breads. And you probably could teach a whole class on
leftover. Don't ever have leftover breads in our house. It seems to evaporate.
Okay. But even if things are kind of getting going by, they had all kinds of things you could... And I bet...
Besides breadcrumbs.
Yeah. And croutons and all these different things you could do. So there's never any waste.
The one thing we do after a meal, if we've had Italian bread the night before, is the next morning we often make French toast with it. And the French breads and Italian breads makes excellent French toast. But you do have to wait for it to get a little bit old so that it can soak up the batter.
All right, we've got about 4 minutes. So what can we do in 4 minutes?